This is the Passover Sabbath. Today is the Sabbath before the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So we have, as it were, back-to-back Sabbaths because of the way that the Passover falls this year. So, therefore, last night we kept the Passover. Today we have a Sabbath, and tonight we have the night much to be observed. And all of those things tie in with a sequence where then, when the Passover is on the Sabbath, then this creates problems on how to count to Pentecost. So we can entitle this, Count to Pentecost from the day after which Sabbath? Because there's great confusion on it, and as we saw with the children of Israel, with a previous sermon that we had just before the feast, how that they entered into the land officially on the 10th day of the first month, which was the day that they selected the lambs for the Passover, and that they kept the Passover and the Sabbath, and then the first day of unleavened bread and the wave sheaf offering. So let's go back and let's review here from Exodus 12 the commands. And when you get your new Bible, you'll be able to review it very clearly. You should be getting it sometime after the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, let's come to Exodus 12 and let's read the account here concerning the Passover that was given to Israel, which then, as you know, reflects back to the time of the promises that God gave to Abraham in making the covenant with him, as we find in Genesis 15. Now, Exodus 12 and verse 1. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Now, that month is called Abib, which means green ears, or later it was called Nisan, N-I-S-A-N. Now, there is also a dispute with this when we come to the green ears, which we will cover when we get to Leviticus 23, as to whether we should run over to Jerusalem or over to the Holy Land every year and watch the barley until it ripens. Well, part of the problem with that is today we have a different climate than they did then, so we don't know what the climate was, and we don't know when it would ripen. So, that is an aside. Let's continue on here. So, here are the instructions that God gave to Moses to give to the children of Israel. Speak unto all the congregation of Israel, saying... Now, how did he speak to all the congregation of Israel? Well, what he did, he called the elders, and they would come to him, and he would give them the instructions. Then they would go back and tell all the children of Israel where they lived in the land of Goshen. So that's how they got the instructions. So here are the instructions here. Saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall you make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, and we know this is a type of Christ because John said, Behold the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. And it's interesting that it's not sins, it is sin. Because the origin of sin comes for the human family from Adam and Eve, and that passed on into us by heredity with the judgment that God gave to Adam and Eve. So he was the Lamb to take away the sin of the world, the Lamb without blemish, a male, of the first year, you shall take it out of the sheep or from the goat. So here's a good use for goats in this particular case. Now you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. and the whole congregation of Israel shall kill it between the two evenings. Between the two evenings is after sunset on the 13th and before dark on the 14th, because every day begins at sunset. So here's what they did. When the sun went down on the 14th, or on the 13th, beginning the 14th, that's when they killed the lamb, at the beginning of the Passover day. Now, this is important for us to understand. They had to do it at the beginning of the 14th, because at midnight, then God was going to pass through and kill the firstborn, and in the morning, they were to get up and to leave and assemble at Ramses. So this takes away the possibility of the error that the Jews have now in combining the Passover 14th and putting it on the 15th and then extending the feast to the 22nd instead of from the 14th to the 21st. They have it from the 15th until the 22nd, and they said that this was done on the night of the 15th, which is not true. So if you don't have the book, The Christian Passover, you be sure and write in for it. This covers every one of these details, plus what I'm going to cover today in addition to it. But this is the most thorough book ever done on the Passover, Old Testament and New Testament, and in here contains vital knowledge as to about when to take the Passover, what is the Passover, what is the purpose of it, what is the meaning of it in God's plan, and then we also have a summary of that in a smaller book that we send out, which now we're ready for our fourth printing, entitled The Day Jesus the Christ Died. So you can review it in both of those books. Now here's what they were to do the lamb after they slayed it. It says they shall keep it until, not through the day, until the beginning of the 15th. Until means at the beginning. Between the two evenings means between sunset and dark. So when that time came, all the children of Israel were ready, because they had picked out the lamb on the 10th. And then the head of the house slit the throat of the lamb, drained the blood, put the blood in a basin, and then they skinned it, and they gutted it, and then they put back in the kidneys and the heart and the liver, and then they roasted it with fire with bitter herbs. Now, one important thing to understand here. This Passover day for Israel was not the day of establishing the Old Covenant. The Passover that Jesus instituted at his last Passover is a covenant day, and that day goes clear back to the covenant day between God and Abraham in Exodus 15, which I thoroughly cover in the Passover book and in the day Jesus the Christ. Now here's what they were to do. They were to take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein you shall eat it. And you shall eat the flesh in that night, which then, as soon as it was skinned and gutted, they had the fire ready to go, they put it on there, and were rolling it like a big rotisserie to roast the lamb. It was to be roasted with fire. And we'll see a little bit later here, in just a minute, not with water. They weren't to boil it. Okay? And you shall eat the flesh that night, roast with fire, and with unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Now, unleavened bread, I want you to mark that, because the question becomes, one of the subsidiary question becomes this: can you, in eating the Passover, eat leavened bread during the day, a day portion of the Passover? Well, I've even been accused of making 8 days of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Oh-ho! But what does the Bible teach? Is the Passover day an unleavened bread day, or is it a partial unleavened bread day only for the eating of the Passover? And then on the day portioned, you can eat leaven. Well, let's see, as we go through the account here, did the children of Israel stop and eat leavened bread any place along the way? Well, the answer is no. Obviously, they didn't eat any leavened bread all that night because they had unleavened bread. And what did they pack up in their satchels and in their packs so they could eat along the way? They had unleavened bread. So it was not possible to have the eating of any kind of leaven on the day portion of the Passover when the children of Israel kept the Passover in Egypt. And as I've jokingly said before, there are no McDonald's or Wendy's or whatever. Now, there may have been a Taco Bell. No, just kidding. Let's go on here. Now, here are the other specific instructions. See, with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat of it raw or boiled at all with water, but roast with fire. His head with his legs, with the pertinence thereof, that's the edible pertinence. You can't cook any animal with all of the guts and intestines in it, because what will happen is it heats, it will explode. And it would be unclean anyway. So that could not mean all the entrails, but just the edible portion of the heart and the kidneys and the liver. And you shall leave nothing of it remain until morning. Now let's understand very clearly what morning means. Let's come over here, just turn the page to... Let's come over here and see what Moses told the elders. Verse 21. Then Moses called for all the elders and said to them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out of the door of your house until morning. Now, that scripture destroys the theory that they left at midnight as soon as the firstborn were killed. See? Here's a specific command. Don't go out of the door of your house until morning. And you think about all of the terrible screams and cries when the power of God came through and killed all the firstborn of man and beast in every house, even in the dungeons, even in the jails. Do you think anyone would go out of their houses before morning? No, you probably think you'd be killed. Verse 23, for the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptian, and when he sees the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord shall pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to you and your sons forever. And the meaning of the Passover in the Old Testament was this. God passed over the houses of the children of Israel on midnight of the 14th day of the first month. Now, they did not leave their houses until morning, and then they assembled at Ramses, and they began the Exodus on the 15th, as the 15th day began, as the 14th was ending. Now, we'll see that in just a minute, just to clarify and get our bearings here. Now, Thus, and this is how you shall eat it. With your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, you shall eat it in trepidation, as it should read. Not in haste. In trepidation. It is the Lord's Passover. Always remember that. It belongs to the Lord. Not the Jews, not the Hebrews, not the Christians, etc. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. So he, in giving his judgment against all the gods of Egypt, and where do all of the pagan gods come from but Egypt and Babylon? And people go back to that and they think, oh, this is wonderful, this is great, this is marvelous. But what did God say? He's already judged them as what? Dumb, stupid idols or demonic, satanic spirits. He has judged them. Then he says, I am the Lord. So when you go through and read it this way, you don't want to argue with God. You don't want to come up and say, oh, God, don't you think you ought to do it this way? You know, don't argue with God lest you become a grease spot. I mean, and think of all, because we saw this in the sermon too, didn't we? The confirmation through history of how all of the plagues in Egypt really did occur, and they were recorded by Egyptian scribes. So at this point, no one with the children of Israel was going to argue with God. No one was going to tell any of the elders who came back from Moses and told him, you do this, and you do that, and you do the other thing. No. Yes, sir. Right away. We'll make sure it's done. Okay. Verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day, Passover day, shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast unto the Lord throughout your generations, and you shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. That's Passover day. Then begins the Feast of Unleavened Bread for 7 days. And so he gives the instructions there on what they were to do for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, let's come over here to verse 37, and let's see what happened when the children of Israel left. And we will see, and another thing that people have accused the Church of God of doing for having the night to much be observed, which we'll observe tonight, that is something that was added by man. Well, they just don't read their Bibles, yet make a decision and judgment against God and on what they think the Bible says based upon their own feelings and emotions and religious prejudice. They're not willing to be as the Bereans and to study the Scriptures to prove all of these things. Let's come here to verse 29 first. Verse 28. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. Yep. No dissenters, no rebellion here. That came later. And it came to pass at midnight, just as he said, the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, and the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat upon his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and the firstborn of all livestock. So Pharaoh rose up in the night, and he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, and there was not a house where there was not one dead, and he called for Moses, which means he sent a message. Moses didn't leave. If God said, don't leave your house until the morning, Moses didn't get up because Pharaoh summoned him. As a matter of fact, if you go back here and come back here to Exodus 10 and verse 27, the last time that he spoke to Pharaoh. Verse 27, Exodus 10. And the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let him go. And Pharaoh said to him, that is to Moses, get you from me, take heed to yourself, see my face no more, for in the day that you see my face, you shall die. What was Moses' answer? He said, you have spoken well, I will see your face again no more. So Moses and Aaron didn't go back to Pharaoh. The message was sent, get out of here! So that's what they did. Rise up, now back to verse 31 of chapter 12. Rise up and get you out from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go and serve the Lord as you have said. Also take your flocks and your herds and be gone and bless me also. Isn't that the way it always is with the hardened criminals? They become absolute cowards and want blessings when it going gets rough against them. You know, don't shoot, as they say today. Now, the Egyptians were urgent on the people, and they thrust them out of the land in haste. Now, let's just answer a question here. Did they leave Egypt the day that they started to leave? No, they were on their way out of Egypt. But since God was taking them, it was good as being already out of Egypt as far as God was concerned. But the fact that they were leaving, they were on their way. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out from the land in haste, for they said, we all be dead men, because they didn't know if it was going to happen again the next night. So you never know what's going, especially after all the other plagues, as we have seen. You don't know what's going to happen, see. And the people took their dough before it was leavened in their kneading troughs, being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. So they didn't have any leavened bread. Do you see any place here where, during the day, the children of Israel begged leavened bread from the Egyptians so they could have a last bite of leavened bread before the Feast of Unleavened Bread begins? No. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they didn't borrow, they took spoil of the Egyptians, jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they gave unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. Now, here's a key. So they had the Passover. They killed the lamb at the beginning of the 14th. God passed through the land of Egypt and smote the firstborn. They stayed in their houses until morning, which then is the rising of the beginning of the rising of the sun. They all left, gathered together, came to Ramses, because the land of Goshen was close to Ramses, and so then they all assembled there to begin the Exodus on the day portion of the 14th. Now notice, and the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, 600,000 on foot that were men besides children, and a mixed multitude went up with them, and flocks and herds and very much livestock, and they baked unleavened cakes of dough which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt, and they could not remain, neither had they prepared for themselves any victuals. Just unleavened bread. Now, that was a summary. Now let's see it a little more in detail. And let's see the historical account, which refers back to the promise that God gave to Abraham 430 years earlier. Verse 40. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of 430 years, on the very same day, it came to pass that all the host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. Okay? Notice verse 42. It is a night. So they went out that night. Deuteronomy 16 says they left by night. Now that could not be the 14th, it had to be the 15th, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It is a night, now notice carefully. No one snuck this into your Bible last night before you began reading it today. It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is the night to be of the Lord, to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. Now, nothing could be more clear than that. Okay. Let's come to the count concerning Pentecost. Now, let's come here to Leviticus 23. And let's see the command that God gave them. Now, we know in Exodus 16, as we're turning here to Leviticus 23, we know that God sent the manna, and they had manna every day the rest of the 40 years that they were wandering in the wilderness. Now, you talk about hard to convince people. You would think that it would be so ingrained to keep the Sabbath because of the manna coming 6 days. 5 days, you only gathered what you needed every day. The sixth day, you gathered for the sixth day and the Sabbath day, and nobody did any work on the Sabbath. You would think that after 40 years, they would have learned the lesson concerning the Sabbath and would keep the Sabbath automatically. But human nature isn't that way. Even there have been people in the Church of God for decades who have forgotten the Sabbath. So that didn't teach them anything. So when we come to the commandments given here concerning the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and now another special event that was going to take place during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and that's why this year is so important. Because when you have the Passover day is on the Sabbath, with the Passover ceremony observed the night before, then the day after the Passover becomes the first day of unleavened bread, a holy day. That's on the first day of the week. Well, the last day of unleavened bread is the following Sabbath. So you don't have any day after the Sabbath or morrow after the Sabbath during the 7 days of unleavened bread when the Passover day falls on a Sabbath. So what is the answer? Some answer by saying, well, you count from the last Sabbath, which is the last holy day, and that becomes the wave sheaf offering day. Well, you develop a great problem because that puts it outside the days of unleavened bread. So what is the answer to the problem? How is this solved? Well, let's read the instructions first here, and then we will see, sure enough, the answer comes in the New Testament. And you will have to rethink that the Passover day is not an unleavened bread day. So we'll get there. All right, let's come to Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23 and verse 16. On the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That's when it begins. That's not the whole feast. That's the beginning. Unto the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. It's been a long time since I had a question, someone saying, do we have to eat unleavened bread every day? Well, if the feast is 7 days and it says you're to eat it 7 days, yes, you're to eat it every day during unleavened bread, right? Okay. The first day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. But you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. And in the seventh day is a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work. We know these scriptures. Now let's come to verse 9. And let's see the special ceremony that was to take place during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It could not take place after the Feast of Unleavened Bread, because if it did, then you would not be able to have any of the new grain for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So let's read it. Speak unto the children of Israel, verse 10, and say to them, when you come into the land. Now they had to come into the land that God promised them. Couldn't take place before. There was no wave sheaf offering ceremony during the wilderness trek of 40 years. And when you come into the land which I give you, you shall reap the harvest thereof. Now some have said, well, this harvest, they couldn't use this harvest, so they had to do it the next year because the unclean hands of a Gentile planted it. So therefore, the grain is unclean. No, when they came in and took over the land on the east side of the Jordan, that was their land. So the truth is, it doesn't matter who planted it, because when you put the grain in the ground, what happens? When it begins to sprout, that grain is used for the food, for the first food source for the sprouting of the new plant. And the heads that have come up did not have any of unclean hands touching it. So that's a specious argument. So it was of the harvest thereof, that is of the land, and they came into the land, and it was in the spring of the land, and as a matter of fact, it was in the first month of the land, and they kept the Passover in Gilgal. So, let's continue reading here. Now notice what it says. Then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest, and this means the premier sheaf of the first fruits, and as we know, the wave sheaf offering is a type of Christ. We thoroughly cover that in the Passover book. Now, here are the instructions. And the priest shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath. The priest shall wave it. Now that's the day after the Sabbath. Now here's an interesting thing with the Hebrew. The Sabbath means the weekly Sabbath, and in the Hebrew is ha, which is the, Shabbat, which means the Sabbath. So this has to be the weekly Sabbath. Now the Pharisees, because they changed it to the first holy day, they don't begin to count the Pentecost until the 16th. And since it's on a fixed day of the week, they don't do any counting. It just automatically comes out on the 6th of Sivan. And it would be, that makes counting nonsensical. But if you will go back, well, I think we did it last year for Pentecost, we showed the four different ways of counting Pentecost based upon how the Passover fell in the week preceding. So go back and review that. Now here's the morrow after the Sabbath. So a holy day is never called HaShabbat. Holy day is only called Shabbat. And you can read that here in the rest of Leviticus 23, where it talks of the Feast of Trumpets. You shall have a Sabbath, and the Day of Atonement is a Sabbath, and the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles is a Sabbath, and the last great day is a Sabbath. But here they were to count from the Sabbath, which had to be the weekly Sabbath. Now, many times there is a weekly Sabbath between the first and last holy days of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. When the Passover falls on a Wednesday, then the Sabbath comes at a natural place, and then the next day after that is the first day of the count. But this year, where you have the Passover falling on the Sabbath, being observed the night before, now there is no Sabbath in between the first holy day and the last holy day. So how do you solve that problem? And from which day do you begin counting? Now, you don't count the Sabbath, because it's after the Sabbath. All right, let's go forward. One other thing we need to cover here, which is in the Passover book, as well as the booklet that we're sending you, Count Pentecost, the morrow after which Sabbath, which you probably should already have, so you can go back and review it there. That the custom was to have a special place up on the Mount of Olives where they planted the barley for the wave sheaf offering. And they would cut it right as the sun set on the 14th, just before it began the 15th day. They would take this sheaf, bring it up, and lay it alongside the altar at the temple to be waved on the day after the regular Sabbath during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, the thing to understand is this. Since you don't count the Sabbath, it is the first day of the week, the morrow after the Sabbath, which begins the count. So you must have the first day of the week within the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Therefore, if you count from the last Sabbath, you are outside the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So this brings up the question. Is the Passover day, then, an unleavened bread day? Well, we saw in the first Passover with the children of Israel, it had to be an unleavened bread day just from the fact that they ate unleavened bread for the Passover meal and they carried unleavened bread in their kneading troughs with them as they were leaving. So they couldn't have eaten anything other than unleavened bread. All right. Let's continue on here and see how we are to count Pentecost. All right. Now, here's another instruction, verse 14. Very important. And you shall eat neither bread nor parched grain nor green ears until the same day that you have brought an offering unto your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all of your dwellings. Okay, so they had absolutely no bread of any kind all during the wanderings until they came into the land and the wave sheaf offering was waved. Now, we'll see that in just a minute. Now, here's how they were to count. You shall count unto you from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, seven Sabbaths shall be complete. Now, the morrow after the Sabbath means this. Beginning with the day after the Sabbath, you shall number your count. Beginning with. And when you number, it is different than adding and subtracting. You begin with the day that you are on, and it has to be beginning with the first day of the week during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, because that's the day when the wave sheaf offering was to be waved. And it says, you shall count unto you until the day after the seventh Sabbath. Now, the day after the seventh Sabbath can never be Monday. Now, some people still keep a Monday Pentecost because of an error by someone in counting. It never on a Monday. The day after the Sabbath has always got to be the first day of the week, which today is called Sunday. And that's when Pentecost was to be observed. And it's counting 50 days, 7 complete weeks, ending in a Sabbath, plus one day brings you to the first day of the week. Okay? Now let's come back here to Exodus 13. Let's see something else that had to be done in order to prepare for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Let's come back to Exodus 13 and verse 5. It says there, it's summarized, when you come into the land, you shall keep this service in its month. Verse 6. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, in the seventh day shall be a feast unto the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall no leavened bread be seen with you, neither shall there be leaven seen with you in all your quarters. Now, today, we don't have a comprehension or an understanding of what it was like to unleaven a whole country. Now, we can unleaven our homes. We can get rid of all of the leaven, get it out of the house, get it gone, and that's the end of it. Now, think about unleavening the whole town in which you live or the whole city in which you live. Now, you can't start doing this on the 14th. Be an impossibility. What are you going to do with the bakeries? What are you going to do with all of the bread that is still not eaten, that is leavened, which you can't have any for 7 days? How did the Jews handle it? All right. Let's pick it up here and see how they did it. This is from Unger's Bible Dictionary of Festivals. Here's how they did it. They had a procedure. On the 13th of Nisan, on the evening of the 13th, which is that until the 14th, was called the preparation of the Passover, every head of the family searched for and collected by the light of candle all the leaven. Before the beginning of the search, he pronounced the following benediction. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with your commandments and enjoined us to remove the leaven. After the search, he said, whatever leaven remains in my possession which I cannot see, behold, it is null and not and accounted as the dust. So here's what they did. Other rabbinical writings revealed that by 10 o'clock on the morning of the 14th, that's for those who kept the 15th Passover, all leaven had to be burned. So just carry that over, it all had to be burned on the morning of the 14th, so there would be no way to eat leavened bread the rest of the Passover day. You didn't eat leavened bread that night. You had unleavened bread with the Passover. So they took all the leaven and burned it by no later than 10 o'clock the next morning. Now, the same procedure would be one day earlier for those who then kept the Passover on the 14th with a domestic Passover. Now, let's understand something about another name for the Passover day, which has to do with unleavened bread. Let's go to the next track, please.